This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Welcome back, everybody. This is Jason Sukumel, your host of Something's Brewing, your Texas Longhorn football recruiting podcast. We are up to episode number 17. Here we go, talking about early signing period. We are in the middle of early signing period. 99% of the fireworks happened yesterday on Wednesday. We were, for the most part, wrapped up by noon, but there were some, as always, some late twists and turns, which we'll get to in a little bit. But man, lots to talk about this week. Always a fun time of the year for me, able to take a little bit of a break, a little bit of a breath once this early signing period kicks in. You know, this is the second year Texas, NCAA has allowed the early signing period. Still kind of a transitional phase. People are still kind of getting used to it, including myself. I think, you know, college coaches have pretty well got it figured out already. Tom Herman said as much on Wednesday during his press conference. He said, they kind of figured this kind of stuff out during last year's early signing period, the first go-round. But as we've seen again, the overwhelming majority of players went ahead and signed on the first day of this early signing period. I don't think most people, including myself and including college coaches, I don't think anybody really saw it trending this way when this new rule was put in place. Out of 22 commitments for Texas, 21 of them signed early. So you have one who's going to wait until February. You had, when this rule first came into place, you know, I talked to some college coaches behind the scenes, and they didn't really know what was going to happen, if guys were going to wait until February, because that was kind of tradition. That's all anybody had known. But, you know, the February signing day, the first Wednesday of February, it's kind of taken a back seat. It really has to the first signing day, the first Wednesday of the early signing period. You know, and technically the signing period goes Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So initially you had guys, you know, coaches included, thinking, okay, some of these players probably won't announce on Wednesday. Maybe things will be spread out Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But that's just not the way it's worked out. For all intents and purposes, the Wednesday of the early signing period in December has become the new national signing day. I mean, you still have some action that'll happen till February or happen in February. We'll obviously be talking a lot about that and the remaining targets for Texas, but it was a productive day for the Longhorns on Wednesday. They had 21 guys sign their letters of intent, so 21 official new additions to the Texas Longhorn family. We'll go through those guys kind of position by position, talk about any backstories and what they bring to the table and how Texas did at each position. But 21 out of 22, that's a pretty good percentage for Texas. They do have one more, being Javon Shepherd, the big offensive lineman who's going to wait until February. I'll talk about him a little bit more. But listen, we'll just start off. There's lots to talk about. I think this will be a kind of an interesting podcast. I hope it is. And I want to kind of talk about some of the backstories on some of these guys, a couple guys maybe that I hadn't really gone into detail with, because, you know, sometimes it's better to wait until after a guy's signed to kind of get into some of that stuff. But we'll start off, let's just talk about the class that Texas did sign up to this point. There are still some pieces out there that the staff wants to close on. Maybe could happen Thursday, could happen Friday, could go all the way into February, but there's still some moving parts out there. But overall, a really good class, ranked number 8 in the country by Rivals.com, number 2 in the Big 12, just behind Oklahoma. And, you know, that's more a credit to Oklahoma than it is, you know, you hate to finish behind Oklahoma if you're a Texas fan, but OU's done a really good job with their recruiting class this year, as you would expect. I mean, they've turned in two really good seasons back-to-back under Lincoln Riley, but the Texas staff did a really good job this year. You know, if there's one kind of weakness for this year's class, or, you know, this staff this year, it's that Texas did not really, I don't want to say they didn't recruit well in-state, because they did. They got some good players from the state of Texas, but they just didn't own the state of Texas the way Tom Herman wants him to, and frankly, the way Texas needs to, if the Longhorns are going to get back to truly dominating at a nationally elite level, the way Alabama's do, the Alabama's of the world and the Georgias of the world. I mean, if Texas wants to get back to that kind of level, if Texas is going to get back to that kind of level, they've got to dominate recruiting in the state of Texas and then cherry pick, you know, 3, 4, 5 top national out-of-state prospects. Well, that's not how it went this year. A&M did a really good job in the state. Oklahoma did a good job in the state. Texas didn't really, certainly didn't dominate, but I mean, Texas was just trying to tread water in a lot of these cases with in-state talent. They ended up having to go out of state, of course, to get almost 50% of the recruiting class comes from out of state, which is, I never in my life would have thought I'd be saying, but you know, credit to the staff for adjusting on the fly and recognizing that they needed to adjust. But if we're being completely honest, and I'm not one to bury my head in the sand, if I'm being completely honest, Texas has to do a better job in the state of Texas moving forward. This was not a good year in the state of Texas for the Longhorns. They did grab a couple good guys like Tyler Johnson, the offensive lineman. You know, they've got Jordan Whittington out of Cuero, who's an elite prospect. But by and large, Texas A&M did a better job in the state of Texas, and the Longhorns have got to find a way to get that corrected. But let's go position by position, kind of talk about where things stand and who's in the class here. And we'll start, of course, at the quarterback position where the Longhorns picked up their earliest commitment of the class from Roshan Johnson, young man out of Port Neches Groves, just a tremendous dual threat prospect. And sometimes you'll see guys get the label of dual threat. You know, Sam Ellinger is a dual threat quarterback, but make no mistake, Roshan Johnson is a true dual threat who you can make a case he's maybe even more of a weapon with his legs than he is with his arm. And that's not to say he's not a good passer. I mean, he is a good passer. He was in the Elite 11, just missed the Elite 11 competition, or actually was in the Elite 11 competition. But so this is a young man who can throw the football, but he's such an electric runner that, you know, that's what I think makes him such a dynamic prospect. And you heard, I mean, Tom Herman talked about it on Wednesday at his press conference. Really, really good player, but just a high character young man. There was tweets out last week. He's going to elementary schools. I think it was a first grade class or something. And he's just kind of reading to those kids. And just, I mean, just he's everything you want in a player, and he's everything you want in a leader, in a young man. Didn't make his first B in high school until this semester. Tom Herman told an interesting story, and I'd like to ask Roshan about this next time I talk to him. But they had a game early in the season where they won. His team won, and Roshan missed a couple out throws, is what Tom Herman was describing. And the coach got up the next morning, Saturday morning, to go to film work, break down the film of the game, a game they won. And here's Roshan Johnson out on the field by himself, throwing that same route repeatedly, just working on his craft. So, man, lots to like. You'll hear that from me a lot. I like to talk about, I mean, A, what guys can do on the field, but I also like to appreciate, I've done this long enough where I can really appreciate when I get to kind of talk to a guy and cover a guy with tremendous character. And Roshan Johnson certainly fits that bill. So look for nothing but good things for him. I hope nothing but great things for Roshan Johnson, certainly when he gets on campus. So that's their quarterback. They took the one. Boom. They were done. That was pretty much it. Yeah, they flirted with Peyton Powell as an athlete slash quarterback, but let's be honest, that was never going to be a quarterback situation. That was just Peyton Powell coming in as an athlete, and he would have made a quick transition to wide receiver or defensive back. Running back recruiting. Interesting deal there, man. It's kind of depending on how you view that one, or if you're a glass half full or glass half empty person. If you're a glass half full guy, Texas landed a really good commitment from Darian Brown, who is a Rivals 250 member out of Buford, Georgia. Just an explosive playmaker. He's kind of a versatile back just the way he runs. He can do things in the passing game. He can make big plays for you all over the field. He's got a speed demon who can literally take it to the house anytime he touches the ball. So that's the bright spot. Texas did a great job, got a really good commitment from Darian Brown. The flip side is that's the only running back commitment they got. The staff worked long and hard. They really tried to find a second running back commitment to come in this class. Trey Sanders, Noah Kane, the two guys we've talked about repeatedly on this podcast, both those players opted for other schools on Wednesday. Trey Sanders wound up going to Alabama, Noah Kane to Penn State. So I'll touch on those guys a little bit more in a bit. But, you know, Texas right now is sitting at one running back commitment, which is a little bit disappointing if you're Texas, because the staff truly did want to bring in a second back to pair with Darian Brown, and that just hasn't happened yet. So they're going to have to go back to the drawing board a little bit, and I'd give them certainly a passing grade at running back, because Darian Brown is a good talent, and I think a lot of people have kind of lost sight of that. Everybody's so focused on what Texas didn't get on Wednesday in Trey Sanders and Noah Kane that they're forgetting, hey, Darian Brown's a pretty damn good player, man. This is a guy that's, a top national 250 prospect that a lot of schools would love to have Darian Brown on their commitment list. So we'll transition to wide receiver. And, you know, if you're sweating a little bit, what happened at running back? Well, then you got to be really happy what happened at wide receiver. We'll start off with the two biggest guys, I think, the two big names, arguably the two biggest names of this class, Jordan Whittington out of Cuero and Jake Smith out of Scottsdale Notre Dame Prep. Whittington missed a large portion of his senior year coming off of an injury, but he's back playing now. In fact, his team plays, Cuero plays for the state championship this weekend. Just a, you know, big physical athletic guy who could play on defense. Obviously, he's coming in as a receiver, but tremendous athlete, tremendous strength. I mean, looks like a college linebacker. That's how built up this young man is. So he'll be a physical mismatch at the college level just because he's so developed, so strong, such a good athlete. So really good take there. Jake Smith, the young man out of Scottsdale Notre Dame Prep, just one of the most dynamic playmakers in the entire country. So we've talked about him a ton, but I mean, that's a guy who Alabama wanted badly, Southern Cal wanted badly, Clemson, Texas A&M tried to get in there late. Jake Smith could have literally picked up the phone yesterday, called any school in the country. I don't care if what their numbers were or what their situation was, they would have gladly taken his commitment. So two huge commitments there. And then Texas filled it out pretty nicely with a commitment from Marcus Washington out of St. Louis Trinity High School. big body outside receiver. Tremendous ball skills and a guy who does a good job in traffic or with coverage of going up in high point and just, you know, and really just bringing down the catch over coverage, but not necessarily a speed demon on the outside, but he's a big receiver. You've seen Texas have success with those guys this year, so they'll look to continue that with Marcus Washington. The other guy is Kennedy Lewis, who actually committed on Tuesday. I can't remember what the hell I'll have talked about over the last couple months, but I'm sure his name's come up. Big receiver out of Melissa, Texas. One-time TCU commitment. He decommitted from TCU. Actually, he visited Texas on an official visit. Then he decommitted from TCU. He was going to commit to Texas, man. And truth be told, I had a story written back in early to mid-November. I had a graphic made up, said, hey, and the Rivals graphics people made it up, but it's Kennedy Lewis committed to Texas, blah, blah, blah. Well, he was all ready to rock and roll. Everything was ready to go. And then he kind of decided to slow things down. Texas kind of said, hey, let's slow this down a little bit, because at the time, the Longhorns wide receiver numbers were getting pretty crowded. Peyton Powell was still there. Damarian Houston was still there. So things kind of went quiet there, went cold there. And last week, things kind of just picked back up because of the Peyton Powell situation. Peyton Powell ends up decommitting from Texas. I'll talk about that in a bit. But with Peyton Powell decommitting, Texas not looking great with Elijah Higgins, they decided to circle back with Kennedy Lewis, and they did, and he committed right away. He silently committed a few days prior, and he announced his decision on Tuesday, and thankfully, I just had to tweak my story a little bit. I called Kennedy on Monday night, got some fresh quotes, changed the dates and things in my story. And I still had that edit made from a month and a half prior. So I was able to pull that back out. Boom, we had a graphic ready. We had a story ready for as soon as he announced his decision on Tuesday afternoon. So good haul at wide receiver, really good haul at wide receiver. Tight end, really good haul there as well. Texas locked up two guys early. Both guys were rock solid. They both shut it down early. Nobody looked around. We're talking about Jared Wiley, the tight end out of Temple. Kind of an athlete, played quarterback, but he is a tight end. And Braden Leibrock out of Chandler High School in Arizona. Also in the Scottsdale, kind of Tempe, greater Phoenix area, I guess you could say. But both are, you know, big guys, 6'5", 6'6". They both run really well. I tell you what, man, I've said it before, everybody's sleeping on Jared Wiley. Rivals has him as a three-star prospect. If I'm looking at, as I look at the Texas commitment list, I think he is the lowest-rated recruit or tied as far as the Rivals ranking is a 5.6, the lowest rated recruit in this class. I got a sneaky suspicion Jared Wiley is going to surprise some people. He's 6'6", he's 220, he's got a frame that will allow him to add, you know, 30, 40 pounds, no problem. He played quarterback, played it well. He's a really skilled baseball player. He runs really well, man. I think Texas got themselves a real find there, and I'm shocked that more schools didn't aggressively pursue Jared Wiley. But, you know, bottom line, Texas did a really good job at the tight end position. There was just no drama, not much to talk about, not much to report there. So that was kind of refreshing. On the flip side, we go to offensive line. One signee, only one signee in this class up to this point, Tyler Johnson. He's a damn good one. Young man out of Conroe, Oak Ridge. He is a Rivals 100 member, one of the top players in the country, and just a big, athletic, tough, smart. He brings it all. He can play any of the five offensive line positions. I like him more. I think he can be a tackle, but I think he could also be a really good guard for Texas if they need him on the interior. I'm not so sure about center. He could probably do it. Tom Herman did say, hey, he could play that position if they need him to, but I don't think that's where Tyler Johnson's long-term future is going to be. I think he's going to be a tackle or possibly an interior guy. The other one, of course, is Javon Shepherd, who is committed but did not sign. I mean, always, as always, drama with Javon Shepherd, but that'll go on until February. We'll probably be talking about him a lot over the next couple months. But they do have two commitments, only signed one. So a little bit disappointing there. If you're Texas, they want to get a couple more offensive linemen here. Maybe one guy from high school, maybe a grad transfer, maybe a JUCO player. You know, right now they're kind of still scratching around and trying to find those guys. The interesting one is Isaiah Hookfin, who did not sign on Wednesday. He might be trending back Texas's way. He was going to sign with Baylor on Wednesday. That was his plan. Now he's kind of back in on the market a little bit. Probably going to decide sometime before Friday's window ends, but he did tell me, hey, this thing could go all the way till February. So if Texas can get him, boom, that's a huge step in the right direction. That gives Texas three. Then suddenly they're looking for only one more guy to kind of round out the class. If they miss on Hookfin, man, they're at two, and they're having to kind of scramble around to find two more guys potentially to fill out the class. So keep an eye on Isaiah Hookfin. I'll talk about him a little bit more. Again, I got a lot of little backstories I want to get to. So let's jump over to defense here. Defensive line, I think Texas did a really good job there. Everybody was sweating defensive line. I tell you, Oscar Giles, it's 2 years in a row. Everybody's been just all over Oscar Giles and critical of defensive line recruiting. And I get it, man. I mean, it's been pretty stressful for Texas fans to follow the defensive line recruiting because Texas has missed on some guys or they just haven't been able to get commitments up until the very end, and then boom, things seem to come together. Yes, Texas did miss on a guy like DeMarvin Leal, who signed with Texas A&M, and he was arguably the top target on the Texas board. But overall, I tell you what, man, I like this defensive line class that Texas signed. I really do. I think it's an underrated defensive line class. I think Oscar Giles did a good job of pulling this thing together. You have one of the earliest commitments in the class, Tavondre Sweat, big defensive defensive end. He could grow into a defensive tackle as well. But out of Huntsville, you know, you heard Tom Herman, if you listen to his press conference, he said, hey, we needed more size on their defensive line, including at the defensive end spots. Well, Tavondre Sweat certainly fits that bill. He's about 265 pounds right now, 6'4", 265. I mean, this dude looks like he has the frame of an NFL defensive end. I mean, he looks like a Michael Strahan type, if that's, I know that's a silly comparison, I get it, but you could see his body seriously develop that way. He is a big, strong, just filled out young man. Now, will his body develop lean muscle mass where he'll stay at defensive end, or will he pack on the pounds where he'll slide in and be an interior guy? I don't know. We'll see. But either way, he's got a great body, great frame, tremendous upside. Peter Poggi, a little bit under the radar guy, but he's an explosive kind of defensive end, a good edge rusher. He's kind of the opposite of Tavondre Sweat. He's a, you know, tall, skinny, I don't say skinny, he's about 215 pounds, 6'5", but he's a young man. He's going to need a year, at least a year, to probably pack on some weight, but he's going to enroll early, so they'll get him in the nutrition program and the weight program. And the obvious comparisons for him are with Charles Omenihue, who came in with a similar frame, and you see how it's worked out for Charles Omenihue. It took a few years, but you know, Omenihue turned into be a really good player. So, you know, Peter Poggi, you hope that the same can be said of him in a few years. Beyond that, Texas signed two guys late, or committed two guys late. They both signed yesterday. Jacoby Jones, one-time Oklahoma commitment. We talked about him a couple weeks ago. He flipped his commitment to Texas. Another big, strong defensive end who will come in and be asked to contribute right away. So that was big to get a JUCO guy that can come in right away. And I tell you, I love Myron Warren, the guy out of Louisiana that Texas signed. Everybody thought he might flip to LSU if LSU come call him. Myron Warren went ahead and signed on Wednesday. So that was a huge development for the Longhorns. This is a freak athlete, big kid with good size, good strength, good first step, good explosion. You know, a little bit raw maybe in his technique and his pass rush. But you put on the film, man, he's beating guys off the edge. He's doing some swim moves. He's doing, you know, just club moves to get off of blocks. And, man, when he gets to the ball carrier, that ball carrier is just getting dragged to the ground. He's getting body slammed to the ground. So I really like what I saw from Myron Warren. Texas got him to sign early. So just a tremendous, I think, defensive line class that is a little bit underrated. The other one of the biggest needs for Texas in this class was that linebacker. And Todd Orlando and the rest of the staff did a great job there. They got four of them locked up, including a recent commitment from Caleb Johnson, the JUCO linebacker, committed on Monday. Big commit there. He's kind of a Gary Johnson, I don't hate to say him, he's a clone, but you can certainly see the similarities there. I mean, Gary Johnson just runs incredibly well sideline to sideline. DeGabriel Floyd, young man out of California, is one of the best linebackers in the country. Big kid who moves well, just very physical but very athletic. Committed early, never wavered, was just extremely loyal to Texas, just kind of a fan favorite because of that. And then two other guys, Texas signed Marcus Tillman, linebacker out of Orlando Jones High School, former safety, still kind of transitioning to linebacker. We'll see what his role is going to be. And then David Benda, who's a little bit undersized at 6 foot, 215 pounds, but runs really, really well. Texas actually likes him at middle linebacker. So that'll be interesting to see a guy of that size playing middle linebacker. But I think in today's kind of the Big 12 and the offenses that Texas will be facing and does face kind of makes sense, man. The days of these big plodding, you know, 240-pound middle linebackers, those days are kind of just going by the wayside. So I kind of like that strategy. Let's see how David Benda does as a middle linebacker. Undersized, but he moves well in space. He kind of sheds blockers pretty well. He moves well in traffic, so that'll be interesting to see how he does. And then lastly, the defensive backhaul. Texas did a really good job there. Still possibly looking for one more, but they got two big out-of-state commitments from Kenyatta Watson, cornerback out of Grayson High School in Loganville, Georgia. This is a big, long corner who moves really well. He tested well. He's a high school All-American. He'll be at the Under Armour All-American game. Really good prospect there. Chris Adamora, the safety out of Mayfair High School in Lakewood, California. I would call him as a rangy safety. He could maybe even play some nickel. He's that kind of cover guy. He's a really good athlete. Marquise Caldwell, big long corner out of Alvin. Missed most of his senior year, a little bit of a developmental guy, but has some talent, has good size at about 6'1", 190 pounds. So, you know, Jason Washington loves those big cornerbacks. Well, he's got two of them in Marquise Caldwell and Kenyatta Watson. And then the other one is Tyler Owens, DB, defensive back, safety out of Plano, who was an under-the-radar guy. But, I mean, this guy's measurables are just off the charts good with his track times. And you see him at these camps, the way he's running and just jumping and the way he tests. So just a tremendous physical athlete who can do a lot of things for you in the secondary. Could even grow into, you know, kind of a rover-type position, maybe play some outside linebacker in a pinch. So really good athlete with a lot of flexibility. So that's the class. Those are the 19 guys who signed, minus Javon Shepherd, I mentioned. Kind of a class overview there. Texas still does have about 5 or 6 more spots they can tinker with. So we'll still be tracking a lot of guys leading up till February. But off to a great start, Texas is with the number 8 ranked recruiting class right now, in 21 of their 22 guys signed and in the fold and locked in. A lot of those guys will be enrolling early as well. So let's touch on just some of these backstories. I'm going to blow through some of these pretty quickly, but Trey Sanders, we'll talk about him. We'll talk about the guys that Texas didn't get first, get those out of the way, and then we'll talk about some of these recent commitments and some other developments. So we'll start with Trey Sanders, the 5-star running back out of IMG Academy. Wound up picking Alabama over Georgia. I tell you, you know, Texas did a really good job there to get in the mix and kind of make it a 3. You can call it a 4-team race. Maybe Florida was involved there a little bit, but really a 3-team race. But Texas was always the outlier there. And it would have taken a minor miracle for Trey Sanders to wind up in Austin. He did love his Texas official visit. And when he took that visit, I remember I've said it on this podcast, I said I would probably have put Texas as the co-leader. That's how much he liked Texas. And, you know, I mean, his parents went home wearing UT gear. He went home with UT stuff. He was telling people on that visit the right things about wanting to come to Texas. I mean, Trey Sanders was really high on Texas, but I've done this long enough, man. I've seen these situations long enough times, and I said it, hey, the further he got away from that visit, the closer it got to signing day. Alabama was going to be tough to beat, Georgia, Florida. And this one turned into a traditional, and when I say traditional, read between the lines here, but an SEC-type recruitment, okay? This came down to Alabama and Georgia. Those two programs recruit really well. There's a reason they recruit really well. They're good programs, and they don't always color within the lines. And Trey Sanders ended up going to Alabama. You know, it was just a traditional SEC slugfest and came out of those two schools, and Alabama won out. So, you know, tough miss for Texas, but I don't know that the Longhorns ever really had a true chance there. The one that really hurts for Texas is Noah Kane. You know, he silently committed to Penn State a couple weeks ago, and that kind of was under the radar. I mean, that didn't come out till yesterday. He did tell Penn State a couple weeks ago that he was coming. But Texas did such a good job with him and his parents. He was genuinely torn, and he didn't officially make up his mind, you know, a final decision until just before he announced on ESPN. He notified the two staffs that it was going to be Penn State, but no real backstory there other than, you know, everybody was saying he was leaning Penn State. Well, it turns out he had given indication that he was silently committed to James Franklin at Penn State. So, Texas did a good job, man, they pulled even. They were neck and neck literally till the morning of Noah's decision, but they just couldn't quite get over the hump. The, you know, Penn State's history of running backs, and they've produced good offensive lines. There's just some things there that I think was too much for Texas to get past or to get over, or for Noah Kane to get past. And that was just one they just flat out got beat on at the last minute. They did a really good job to put themselves, you know, in that finalist list with Penn State, but just weren't able to close. And that was a tough, tough miss because Texas really, really wanted Noah Cain. Let's jump back to Peyton Powell. We'll talk a little backstory there. You know, he decommitted and he wound up signing with Baylor on Wednesday, which wasn't a surprise. And, you know, the backstory there, and I'll just say what it is, just call it what it is. I mean, Texas moved on from Peyton Powell. This is a young man who his recruitment, even before he committed to Texas, was kind of odd. He was all over the place, and different schools were thought to be different leaders at different times. And he winds up committing to Texas as an athlete. Texas tells him, yeah, we'll give you a chance at quarterback. That's what he wanted. Well, even when he, literally the day he committed, I talked to him and he said he was probably not going to sign until February. And I remember asking him at that time, I was like, well, what's the reason there? Are you going to take some other visits? And he's like, oh, I don't know. I just kind of want to enjoy the process. So in his mind, he had always talked, or in his mind, he'd always thought, and he'd always talked to me about taking these other visits. Well, you know, it kind of came here. We're getting to late November, December, and these visit periods, and there was talk that he was going to visit Baylor and Texas Tech. He tells everybody at the last minute, no, I'm not visiting Baylor. Well, lo and behold, he does wind up showing up in Waco on Saturday, and Texas is just like, you know what, enough of these games, man. They weren't going to play these games with Peyton Powell just to have him change his mind at the last minute, and then they're missing out on a guy like Kennedy Lewis. So how that went down, I mean, I got a call from a source that said, hey, Texas is about to move on from Peyton Powell, but, you know, you got to be careful how you word that. They didn't want to throw the kid under the bus, and of course, Texas doesn't want to look like it also swung and missed. So, you know, it came out, and then Peyton decommitted about an hour later and said, hey, yeah, listen, I kind of said on the board, it was on our message board in Orange Bloods, it was a mutual decision. And that's kind of the nice way of putting it. But, you know, Texas actually initiated that. They were just kind of tired of playing those games. And they had already started talking and kind of circling back to Kennedy Lewis. When Peyton Powell decommitted, Kennedy Lewis was already committed. He had already silently committed to Texas. So Texas circled back on Kennedy Lewis. They like him very much as a prospect. This is a young man who so badly wanted to be a Longhorn. So he was like, you know what? We're going to take the guy who wants to be here, who the coaches think is every bit the same caliber of prospect to Peyton Powell, and just not have to worry about the headaches in the game. So Texas essentially moved on from Peyton Powell, went ahead and got locked up the commitment from Kennedy Lewis, and that's the backstory on how Peyton Powell wound up at Baylor. And I'll say this, listen, Peyton Powell handled it really well. He was very complimentary of Texas. He was very supportive of Kennedy Lewis on social media when Kennedy committed to Texas. So no hard feelings. You know, I mean, sometimes fans take this stuff so personally and get so invested. But, you know, I say, hey, Peyton Powell, good luck to you at Baylor, man. I hope he has a good, successful career there, and I hope things turn out well for him. I can appreciate and respect the way he handled kind of the unraveling, if you will, with how things went down with Texas. One more decommitment Texas had was Damarian Houston, and I keep seeing questions on that come up. And bottom line there, it's a Peyton Powell situation. Damarian is a guy who all along was looking at taking other visits. He hadn't taken any, but he had talked about taking them at his parents' urging. And you know, bottom line is, if I'm just being brutally honest, he didn't necessarily have the best season in terms of development, his senior season. And I think Texas just saw, hey, this is a young man who's talked about taking other visits. They probably feel like they could use that spot somewhere else and get more bang. I say bang for their buck. That's a terrible phrase to use when you're talking about recruiting. But they thought that scholarship could be better used elsewhere. So Texas kind of initiated that, and they told Damarian, hey man, it's cool, you want to take those other visits, go ahead and take those other visits. They kind of encouraged it, if you will, and Damarian kind of saw the writing on the wall and just said, you know what, I'm going to officially decommit from Texas, which is what he did. He publicly decommitted from Texas, but that was a Texas deal as much as it was a Damarian Houston deal. And you know, listen, if Damarian Houston would have said, hey, from the get-go, I am 100% locked in with Texas. I'm not taking any of the visits. I'm not talking to any of their coaches. I'm not listening if Oklahoma comes by the school. He probably stays in this class, but he just didn't give those kinds of assurances. And Texas saw a window there, and they said, you know what, then then we're going to go our separate ways too. So that's the backstory on both those decommitments. I mean, yes, the guys decommitted, but technically that was Texas going in a different direction on both of them. Javon Shepherd, let's jump over there. Frankly, I am sick and tired of talking about Javon Shepherd. I'm sick and tired of answering questions on the board. I'm sick and tired of the games that Javon plays and just people around him play. I'm like, you know what? At this point, if he signs with Texas, that's great because he's a tremendous prospect and he's a huge need at the offensive line for the Longhorns. But I hate to say it, man, I just don't even care at this point. I really don't. There was rumors that came up on Tuesday night that he might sign with Texas. And then there was some people at A&M reporters saying, hey, if he signs, he's going to sign with Texas A&M. And I'll be completely honest, in my mind, I was like, I don't give a shit at this point. If he signs with A&M, whatever, man. That just means I don't have to deal with the circus until February. Well, he ended up not signing, and I'll give Javon credit. I did reach out to him on Wednesday morning, and I said, hey, dude, are you going to sign today, or are you going to wait till February? And he said he's going to wait till February, and that's what he did. He didn't sign. Now, even when he told me that, on Wednesday morning, he said, I'm not going to sign today. In my mind, I'm still thinking, he might sign today. So, I mean, I was keeping an eye on Javon Shepherd on Wednesday just in case. That you just can't trust. And I don't think he's a bad kid. I just think he likes the attention and likes playing the games a little bit. But you can't really believe or trust anything that you hear from Javon Shepherd or read on social media. The bottom line is he's still committed to Texas. He's taking a Texas A&M official visit in early January. And Texas will be sweating that one out all the way up until the February signing day, and I am going to be so sick and tired of talking about it and writing about it, but it is what it is, man. So so that's the Javon Shepherd story. I mentioned Kennedy Lewis, how his commitment went down. Texas actually took his commitment before Peyton Powell ever decommitted. Kennedy came out on Tuesday night and announced publicly his commitment to Texas. But that one had been in the works for a while. I tell you what, man, you fans who listen to this, and you're going to like Kennedy Lewis. We'll see what kind of player he turns into be. He's got a lot of upside, but as a person and just, you know, a guy who loves the University of Texas and a high caliber person, quality person, y'all are going to really like Kennedy Lewis. He's an easy guy to root for. Texas also gained a commitment on Monday from JUCO linebacker Caleb Johnson. You guys have probably, you know, been able to read between the lines or whatever the audio version of that is. Listen to decipher what I'm saying. That guy's been locked in for a while too. He actually committed to Texas over a week ago. He did visit Colorado last weekend on an official visit, but there was no way that was moving the needle. Caleb Johnson told me flat out, dude, I love Boulder. I didn't get to travel much in my life. Now I'm getting these free trips. I've been to Boulder once. I enjoyed it. I can go back a second time because of this coaching change and this new NCAA rule. He said, I'm going to have some fun for 48 hours, man, but I am signing with Texas. And he was true to his word. And, you know, he came back and he gave me the quotes ahead of time and we had an edit made up for him and everything else. So that's kind of how that one went down. Some people were sweating that trip to Colorado and I tried to make it as clear as I could. Like, don't sweat the Colorado visit. There was nothing going on there other than him wanting to go check out some scenery in Boulder and enjoy the weekend up there. The other two big stories I'll talk about before I kind of transition to what we might be looking forward to are Marcus Washington and Isaiah Hookfin. I touched on them both a little bit. Well, Washington is the big receiver out of St. Louis who signed with Texas. Man, that thing was touch and go there for a while last week. Missouri ended up trying to make a push there. And everything I've heard, and I'm telling you, man, my sourcing on this has been good when everybody else was saying, nah, there's nothing to see there, nothing going on. There was stuff to see and there was stuff going on. And in fact, it was Marcus and his camp that initiated those talks with Missouri. Missouri thought for a long time, or they thought they were going to get him. Marcus Washington pretty much told Missouri, hey, I'm coming to Missouri. He was close to decommitting publicly. Missouri said, no, let's just wait and just have you kind of do a little switch up there on signing day. Well, Texas got wind of that, and Texas did a really good job of kind of talking him back into the fold. And I tell you what, Marcus, a big part of the reason he picked Texas, he has good relationships with the staff, but I think he also sees that he wants a change of pace, if you will. He wants to spread his wings and just kind of start his own chapter, maybe get away from St. Louis, get away from people a little bit, and start his own chapter down in Austin. So just be thankful, Texas fans, the way that one turned out, and it ended up working out in Texas's favor. And you might be doubly thankful because he's got a 2020 teammate, Mookie Cooper, who's a kind of a slot receiver athlete. That's going to go a long way towards potentially locking up Mookie Cooper for the Longhorns. So getting Marcus Washington could pay off with the 2020 class as well. Now that leads us to Isaiah Hookfin, the offensive lineman out of Sugarland Dulles. He was all set to sign with Baylor on Wednesday. He told Baylor that. He told Baylor reporters that. He was going to sign about 1:30. Then he decided to push it back till 3 o'clock. Texas has some conversations with him. And bottom line is, as I record this, he is still uncommitted. I did text with him on Wednesday night. He didn't know. He said he didn't know if he was going to sign in this early period or just go ahead and wait until February. And he couldn't really handicap the race when I talked to him. You know, obviously Baylor's still a threat there, but I have a sneaky suspicion this one's trending Texas's way. Isaiah hadn't told me that. I hadn't heard that from any sourcing, but it's not often a kid basically what amounts to, you know, he decommitted from Baylor and then circles back 48 hours later to recommit. I just think Texas is trending in the right direction there. Not a lock by any means, but I think there's a really good chance before the end of this early signing period, you see Isaiah Hookfin in this class, but it's not a lock. So don't put him down in ink just yet. But I think that one's trending UT's way. So where does Texas go from here? Kind of wrap it up, kind of projecting forward. Obviously, Hookfin's the most immediate story we'll be following. Brew McCoy, the 5-star receiver / athlete out of California, he'll announce his decision on January 5th at the All-American Bowl. He's down to Texas and USC. Man, I still lean USC. And he did an interview with Fox Sports out there in California on, I believe it was Wednesday, and he had a USC pullover. That's never a good sign. But I'm telling you, man, that race is a lot closer than I think USC people and West Coast people realize. You talk to USC people, they'll tell you, he's going to USC. It's locked up, man. It's done. He's silently committed. I've heard every rumor in the book, but Brew McCoy is not the type in his family that's going to string Texas along if he's completely locked in to Southern Cal. So I think Texas still has a shot there, but I do still lean USC's direction. But hey, we've got up till February 5th. There'll be a lot of conversations between the McCoy family and the Texas and USC staffs. Pay close attention. I'm telling you, pay close attention to the Cliff Kingsbury situation. Best thing that can happen for Texas, Cliff Kingsbury jumps to the NFL. There's still talk that that could be a possibility. If that happens, Brew McCoy, I think, is coming to Texas. If not, he's probably sticking with USC. But what, you know, those rumors are out there, so we'll keep an eye on the Cliff Kingsbury situation. Running back situation moving forward, it's going to be interesting. DeAndre Glass is a young man out of Katy who told me a couple weeks ago, yeah, that Texas was back talking to him. He's going to visit in January, so he's a guy to watch. Beyond that, man, the coaches are going to have to just really scour the country for JUCO talent or any top uncommitted talents, but that's not easy, man. Most of the top guys have already been identified. They've already committed. They've signed. So we'll see what Texas does for a second running back commitment in this class, but expect DeAndre Glass to be part of that equation. I do expect him to take a Texas official visit at the worst, and then we'll see how things progress from there. So lots to, you know, it was a hectic day yesterday, lots of activity, some kind of late-breaking stuff on Wednesday with, you know, Marcus Washington and Peyton Powell signing with Baylor and Noah Kane and Trey Sanders, Javon Shepherd, you know, was big news. Isaiah Hookfin still is the big news. So It's been a busy week. I'm looking forward to this weekend. Y'all don't know how much I'm looking forward to this weekend. It's dead period, so recruiting will actually be quiet. This early signing period will be over, so there really shouldn't be any fireworks. But really productive early signing period for Texas so far. Could get even better if Isaiah Hookfin ends up committing and signing with Texas. And then obviously we'll turn the page from there and start focusing on what's left for the February signing day. So with that, guys, it's been a crazy week, crazy recap. As always, I appreciate everybody taking the time, and I do want to give a shout out to our partners at the Yak for hosting this Something's Brewing episode number 17. You all have a great, I don't think I'll talk to y'all or get a chance to record one before Christmas. So genuinely appreciate everybody listening. Everybody have a great Christmas, man. Hope you enjoy your time with your families. Everybody be safe. Please be safe on the roads. Be smart. And I will talk to y'all soon. And we'll have another Something's Brewing podcast coming up probably around the new year somewhere. Take care.